The Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire on March 25, 1911, stunned New York almost the way 9/11 did 90 years later. 146 people died in the fire, many of them by jumping from the upper floors where fire department ladders didn't reach and fire escapes melted in the heat. That fire is the background for Katherine Webber's new novel, Triangle. In Triangle, we meet Esther Gottesfeld, the oldest survivor of the 1911 fire, and we read her account of how she escaped the fire while her sister Pauline and her fiancé Sam perished. Esther's granddaughter Rebecca has grown up with that history, but a pushy academic, Ruth Zion, is raising questions about it, lots of questions. Katherine Webber joins us from our New York studio. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
This is fiction, mystery, but many connections to facts, and the connection that took my breath away is that your paternal grandmother, Pauline Gottesfeld, worked at the Triangle Waste Company 2 years before the fire. Did she inspire you to write this book?
Well, I grew up in New York City always knowing that, like most of the women who worked in the garment trade, she did not die in the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire of 1911, but she could have.
But this isn't just sort of generic history. You used her names.
Yes, my grandmother was Pauline, her sister was Esther. It was a way of memorializing them. They were brave women. I think everyone was brave who got on a boat from Eastern Europe with pogroms and flames behind them and their villages being scraped off the earth as they fled. They started with nothing and they had something and then they had something more.
Tell us a little bit about Pauline and Esther in the book.
In the book, they are sisters who come to America and make their way, and they work side by side as sleeve setters. One sews the left sleeve, one sews the right sleeve, and they are happily making their way, working at the Triangle, until the fire, when one lives and one dies. And the one who lives tells her story for 90 years, and she is famous all her life for not having died on March 25th, 1911. She is very inspired by Rose Friedman, who is known for having been the last and the oldest living survivor of the fire, who died in February of 2001 at the age of 107. And it was her death that really focused me in thinking about the way to write about the fire the way I always had in mind. I wanted to write a novel about the Triangle fire, but thinking about what it was like for her to survive the fire, in effect, for 90 more years and tell her story and tell her story. That's where, for me, the novel began, because the novelist question became, what would it be like to be famous for something and tell your story for 90 years? And what if there was something in your story that isn't quite true? What if you're concealing something?
Well, your first sentence reads, "This is what happened." Flat statement of fact.
Yes.
And then we spend 200 plus pages exploring that.
It's not all of what happened, and it's the necessary truth of what happened. It's what she has made a decision and has stuck by it all her life to tell.
We read Esther's account in so many different forms, various iterations of court testimony, various interviews that she's done with this academic who's sort of pursuing her, a union brochure. As a novelist, what is your point in all that repetition?
Well, how do we know what we know? Why do we think we know it? The role of testimony and eyewitness accounts, I think people who investigate crimes know that eyewitness accounts are often the least reliable and in some ways the most authentic. And it depends on the kind of truth you're looking for. And what happened depends on your vantage point and what you bring to the story. And I'm also interested in the way we listen with agendas, not just the way we tell our stories with agendas, but the way we hear stories with agendas. And Ruth Zion, the driven, humorless academic, has an agenda, and she's going to pursue it relentlessly. And her truth versus Rebecca's truth becomes a little bit of a tug of war over who owns the truth and who controls the truth and what matters the most about what really happened.
Humorless is kind of an understatement in describing Ruth Zion. Why did you make the academic such an obnoxious personality?
Well, one of the things I wanted to do was have you be a little confused about your own relationship to her, because as obnoxious as she is, you might have a guilty identification with wanting to know the same things she wants to know. And before the novel is over, she has redeemed herself enough, I hope, so that you can't quite hate her, even if you mean to, because she's on to certain things and her heart is not entirely in the wrong place. I also am someone who has dwelled on the edges of academia. I taught in the Yale English department for 8 years, and I've taught elsewhere. And as much as I love inquiry and learning and, you know, all the greatest, best parts of teaching undergraduates and, you know, the hive of activity that is a university, I've also come up against those sorts of scholars. And as much of a caricature as she may seem to be, I could introduce you to a few.
Oh, dear. Let me ask you to read from the beginning of the book in something that you set up as a union brochure. Tell us about what that is.
Given that Esther is famous for 90 years for telling her story and telling her story, one of the things that interests me is the way people develop a relationship to a story they tell over and over again. And it loses its power and it gains a different kind of power. So this is a fictional transcribed oral history for the 50-year anniversary for a fictional ILGWU booklet, Remembering the Triangle Factory Fire 50 Years Later. And she's already told her story for 50 years. It begins. This is what happened. I was working at my machine with only a few minutes left before the end of the day. I remember so clearly, I can still see it, that I had only two right sleeves remaining in my pile. My sister Pauline, she did the left sleeves and I did the right sleeves, and between us we could finish sometimes as many as 24 shirtwaists in an hour, 300 shirtwaists on a good day, if the machines didn't break down and if the thread didn't break too often, and if nobody put a needle through her finger, which happened all the time. And the biggest problem then was you didn't want to bleed on the goods, but you didn't want to stop work. So you took a piece of scrap and you wrapped your finger tight and you kept working. My sister was a little faster than I was, and sometimes her finished pile would be high because she did her sleeve first. And then I would take from her pile to do the right sleeve, but I have to say my seams were the ones always perfectly straight. And then when I was done, the waist would be finished except for sewing on the buttons and trimming the loose threads. And who did that was the little girls over in the nursery. That's what we called that corner, the nursery. Some of those girls were only 10 or 11 years old, already working and working, poor things, but what other life did they know? Those little girls would sew on the buttons and cut all the loose threads, and then the waist would be ready for pressing.
It's interesting to me to hear you read. Is that how you hear Esther?
Yes. And, of course, it's how I hear Esther 50 years after the fire. In the trial transcript, Esther is much fresher off the boat and has more of a Yiddish inflection. And when she's, you know, in her hundreds and dealing with Ruth Zion and is kind of cantankerous in Ruth Zion's transcripts, she's got a slightly different sound to her then as well, because she's lived all these years and her relationship to her story is sort of set in amber, but at the same time it also grows inevitably. And her language changes as it does when people have been in living in another language for all those decades.
You drop a lot of clues along the way. It had the effect on me of making me feel very clever, and then I realized you really were making it kind of easy for me to see where this was going.
The secret of the novel is right there on the first page, and it comes to the surface through the story. It's only confirmed at the end. There are no surprises. It's confirmation. But it's not a mystery in the classic sense, which is to say there is a secret, but you, the reader, are perceiving the secret far ahead of the character, some of whom never are really going to know the entirety of the story.
Esther dies just a few days before 9/11. Did you set out to write about 9/11, or did that come along later as you were putting this together?
You know, I began writing the book after Rose Friedman died in February of 2001. And I was really mapping out the book when September 11th occurred. And for anyone with a real intimate knowledge of the events of the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire, September 11th had some horrific echoes, you know, larger, louder echoes. But the fact is, the decision to jump or burn, which horrified all of us and which so many people witnessed in one way or another in both events, isn't so different whether you're jumping from the 9th floor or the 99th floor. And that echo is there. And when I began writing the novel, obviously this hadn't yet taken place, but it took place right away. And I think for most novelists, September 11th seemed at first to pose just this horrible dilemma, because it had obliterated what we like to think of as the present. You know, you read plays setting the present. Novels are set in the present. And for many, many months, The present was now gone. It was either before or after. So I wanted to write the novel really with 9/11 as a background, and to me that seems like the most sensitive and appropriate way to make the points about the, you know, the human dilemma, the horror of that dilemma, the inevitability that you would jump instead of burn if you were given the chance in those few seconds.
Catherine Weber, her latest novel is Triangle, published by Farrar, Straus & Giroux. She joined us from our New York studio. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
To read an excerpt from Triangle, you can visit our website, npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Sheila Kast.